You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
If your child suffered a serious birth injury, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO. Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. Head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine, will address the media momentarily for his end-of-the-year press conference. We will bring that to you live. I think what people need to realize, number one, is it is not as easy. You can't just cut Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel.
No, you can't.
I don't think cutting Josh Gordon does anything for you. You want to try to find somebody who is willing to trade something with him, with you for him. Now the news that he was suspended, he could be a restricted free agent as opposed to an unrestricted free agent at the end of next season, which means he becomes a little bit more appealing in trade. A team could feel comfortable they'd have him
yes.
for 2 years. So hopefully that can help the Browns there. But don't look for anybody to be cut here. I think everybody could potentially be traded. But right now in the NFL, Matt, what kind of value? I know Johnny Manziel and Justin Gilbert were first round picks last year, but after a season like this, what kind of value do they have?
I would say we got to figure that, you know, Josh was a second round supplemental pick at that point. He is a high risk. And at this point right now, I would say that all of them are very similar. And I would say at or around a fourth round pick, you could get for a Manziel, a Gilbert, and or Josh Gordon. Just because I think as we saw this year, you got a Terrence West in the third round, you got a Joel Bitonio, a borderline Pro Bowl player in the second round. Teams that, and I'm not saying the Cleveland Browns don't, teams that add value year after year strategically through the draft find those diamonds in the rough, you know, not necessarily just, they don't have to be perfect in the first round. They can find value and contributors in the second round, third round, fourth round, and so on and so forth. And then there's those teams that are just highly talented that find value, that have the ability to sit that talent, you know, later in the draft and don't have to rely on a draft picks. But I think when you look at this roster, you know, we are a team that and I think a fan base that wants to see and get excited about the draft, have us go out and be decisive and go get a guy. You know, which I don't think we didn't have a guy going, you know, being sixth overall. We traded back to get Gilbert, added value for next year, you know, moved around to grab Manziel, but we made moves during the draft, but we weren't in love with a guy with the need that we have. And I think that's something that gets fans to buy in to a plan that we have of how we're exactly going to get better and what we're going to add. And I do love Ray Farmer's follow-through on Whitner and Dansby. Those were rumored early on to be in talks with them. We closed those deals. We sold them on the culture change, on Coach Pettine, and so on and so forth.
They're
but
part of it.
We need a plan, you know, and we need a plan to go out and be strategic as opposed to just getting the most talented, because the most talented might not fit playing like a Brown.
Absolutely. You've got to find a way to get the right guys and the right fits as well for this team, this organization, and Joe Thomas in the locker room saying, you expect a middle school player to show up on time, why can't you expect an NFL player to show up on time? But also said this about Johnny Manziel. He said there is no doubt he has the talent to be the guy. So that's strong there from Joe Thomas. Hopefully he can figure out off the field. His tight end Jordan Cameron has said he's got to get it figured out and get his act together, end quote, if he wants to be one of those guys. Now, certainly proud of the effort put forth by the Browns yesterday. I think that says a lot about how they feel about head coach Mike Pettine. I also think it says a lot about how they felt about Connor Shaw and the work that he has done this offseason. And it's a team, a lot of good things have happened, but not enough. At the end of the day, it is a different, you know, a standard. You want to win, you want to get to the playoffs. The Browns did not do that. Every other team in the AFC North did do that. So certainly some work there as we await Mike Pettine, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, who's set to address the media any second now down there. I think that it's good that Johnny talked again, but I'm tired of hearing him talk. I think it's the time for talk is over. It's time for him to do and show that he's a different guy and be the guy for this team, or at least put himself in the competition to do so. Justin Gilbert, I want to hear from Justin Gilbert because, you know, he said, actually, I don't want to hear from him. What he said this week was, hey, you know, they were too harsh on me. I'm going to prove everybody wrong and show them, and then messes up in the same week.
See, and the hard part is, Nathan, is the fact that they said all this, or this is happening, and our season's over. So these guys are going to be disappearing and be out of sight for the next 3 months. So how do we know, how do we truly know, other than following Johnny Manziel on Twitter or Instagram, what he's doing to prepare? And also, too, is you and we see this, how you see marketing, you know, from multi-million dollar, you know, billion dollar businesses, you know, twist and contort. And you can do that through social media of the person that you are or the amount of effort that you're putting into something. You can create a perception of whatever you really want. You know, what's real is when he comes back, you know, in March, is he going to hit 100% of the workouts? Or in mini camps, does it look as if he's been practicing his trade and really working out? Or does he look, you know, plausibly different than he has been when he got an opportunity here?
Well, go ahead, Joe.
You know, I think in somebody like his case, you know, or for the guys that we've been talking about for most of the show, these guys deserve to have their off season. They didn't do much on the field to deserve probably what they think they should be getting, but it's the off season. These guys are going to go out. They should be able to let their hair down, but you would hope that it's somewhere during this period, this break, that they do some soul searching. And I could honestly, I mean, I would hope, but I could be completely shocked that if these guys looked in the mirror and told themselves that they were completely, that it was a satisfactory season for them, I would be shocked. I would be completely shocked. You know, Justin, I'm with you from Justin. Man, I don't want to hear from you. Johnny, I do give you some credit for showing up and facing the storm. You know, Josh, I mean, this is something that's been happening every year since this kid has, you know, been in the college ranks. So having said that, I would love to see these guys take a hard look at themselves and be honest, because the only way that you're ever going to get to where you aspire to be, and maybe these guys don't even aspire to go anywhere other than just collect checks, but you have got to be held accountable. And before the team and all that holds you accountable, you've got to hold yourself accountable.
You have to, and that's the truth. If you don't hold yourself to any standard, it doesn't matter that other grown men are trying to hold you to a standard.
Right.
You're just going to do what you want to do, and you're going to continue to throw things down the drain. And if I'm Justin Gilbert, I'm just looking and I'm saying Joe Hayden's starting at one corner for sure. If they bring Buster Skrine back, he's a starter. You got to feel like right now I'm behind Kaywan Williams in the nickel, if that's the way they go with Buster on the outside. And I got to feel like I'm behind Pierre Desir as well. And maybe there isn't a place for Justin Gilbert on this team if you bring Buster Skrine back. We don't know. But he also, if Justin Gilbert is good, it gives you more flexibility to do various things. But I hope they bring Buster back. I thought he played well, and I think he should come back.
Oh, and also, too, I think that, you know, as we've seen throughout this football season, having valuable, talented defensive backs is a very good thing. It's a luxury. You know, something that we wouldn't have the opportunity to see Pierre Desir or Kaywan Williams had we not had, you know, Justin Gilbert not panning out and the injuries we had in the defensive backfield. So I think depth in the defensive backfield in today's NFL, that pass friendly NFL, is a very good thing. So I think we do hold on to him and hope he matures from year one to year two.
The thing with these guys too is, you know, if they went through an entire season or at least three quarters of the season and then made one mistake, it's easy to look over this. That happens. You're young. Okay, I can buy it. But now what these guys have done to themselves is if they make one mistake here in the offseason, the answer, I think, it just becomes so much more clear for the front office, for these guys to just cut their losses. Because if you haven't learned with all the ridicule they face, and then it was brought on by themselves, that if you don't learn from your mistakes and you make another mistake, I got to believe that the Browns will say we're done. We just, you know, we lost on this one. We're going to move on to the next one.
And, you know, you have guys that come in and bust their humps. You talked about Desir as a rookie, but let's take a veteran. John Hughes could have easily shut it down, went on the IR, designated return, wanted to come back and play in the final game against the Ravens. And I thought he was a big reason why the run defense, until the very end of the game, Justin Forsett basically got all of his yards on three runs. But before that, I thought the run D had done a very, very good job. He came out and he recorded 7 tackles on the day. I thought played a very, very good game. Had a quarterback hit as well. And he was just another guy. Comes out and competes and battles. And that's what you need. When you have the talent that those guys have, it makes it even more imperative that you bring it. You look at C.J. Mosley, the first-round pick of the Ravens. He's going to the Pro Bowl because he went out there. He worked hard. I was talking to their linebackers coach before the game and said that this is a guy who worked hard, came out, and just absolutely delivered and brought it week in and week out, wanted to get better, wanted to learn, wanted to work. And when you do that and you have the talent, that's when you're great.
And you're right. You're absolutely right. And I think that's one thing that needs to be reevaluated by the scouting staff is – and I think what's the growing frustration of Browns fans is how come they see picks before us, picks after us, guys going out and playing significant roles on their football teams around the NFL, but yet we went 0 for 2 out of 32. You know what I mean? Picking Justin Gilbert and Johnny Manziel. And it's growing frustration when they see us. See, again, Browns fans got to see it up close and personal yesterday. Every time he made a play, every time he did anything, it was 2015 Pro Bowler CJ Mosley. And it's frustrating to know that other teams are hitting and we're swinging and missing consistently year after year.
So, Matt, what would you do, or Nate, what would you do? Because, I mean, you get to study some of this. You're really good at, obviously, when you study guys coming out of college, you write some scouting reports for the Browns and, you know, to give your opinions. What would you guys do in the future? How could you – what would you do that would help you not miss? I mean, do you do more background checks? Do you look
at
these guys?
And they did all that. They did all that, and they were diligent, and now they do have a new, you know – piece in place this year for that part of the process. They made a change there, not because of anything. The doctor they had left. But, you know, these guys are very well trained. They're very well coached. You get 15 minutes with them. They know how to handle it. They know what to say and stuff like that. So I think that's a very difficult part of it. I think the most important thing is you need to trust your process. You need to have a process in place that says, this is how we're going to evaluate talent, this is how we're going to make our board, and then we're going to stick to that going forward. And the guys that are being paid to evaluate the talent at the highest level need to be the guys who ultimately make the picks and trust and sink or swim with their picks. And I think if you do that, there is a great team here in place led by Ray Farmer and company, and I think they will have a lot of success.
Yeah, you're right. And everything you've said there, you know, I know they have these guys in place because at one point I was one of those people being interviewed, and they asked questions that would make most people scratch their head. But you've got to get as in-depth as you possibly can to really figure somebody out. What does let me hang my – what I can hang my head on this offseason is knowing that the Browns have a lot of good people in place right now. And I'm talking about specifically inside that locker room. I do believe that the nucleus of players they have is a team that they can build a championship team around. And when you get rid of or figure out how to motivate these guys – and it's sad when you say to motivate. Like, you should be so motivated because that's what you want to do. You want to put the best product out there, but – you've got to figure a way to make these guys hungry, and unfortunately, we didn't see it this year, but I guess that's what the offseason
is. We saw it from so many, and hopefully, again, these are grown-ups, and, you know, Johnny Manziel saying, I need to look in the mirror now, and I'm going to make deals with myself. Like, better late than never, I hope, but I want to see it now. I don't care. Johnny Manziel saying to Mary Kay Cabot, quote, I'm upset with how I've handled things at times. I did grow up, and then I took a step back. Okay, yeah,
but,
enough.
But you know what, though? It's when you look at the big scope of things is – after next season, Dante Whitner and Carlos Dansby, two great players that we added late in their careers, contracts expire. You know what I mean?
Well, so guaranteed money on them. Yep.
Yeah, you know, so they expire. So do we have to pay them again to continue that leadership and their level of play and what they bring to the Cleveland Browns? You know, Joe Hayden was, you know, again, I know he just re-upped, but he's getting a year older. Joe Thomas is getting a year older. So as we continue to try to figure things out and add value through the draft and through free agency to make this a better football team, our nucleus, our core of leaders and vets that we rely on are only getting a year older and a year older and a year older and more expensive, you know what I mean? Which makes you have to, you know, you start to weigh things like, well, is it worth it? Should we go young here? Should we do this? Is he the same guy? And it's like, so while we're trying to figure out the front end, our back end, our nucleus is slowly getting older. And in some cases, we just see it naturally happen in the NFL. Their level of play just slowly goes down year by year by year, game by game by game.
You're on it. But the only thing that gives me a little bit of confidence is these older guys that we're talking about. I think all of us would have to agree that these guys know how to take care of themselves.
Sure.
This isn't just like the veteran that's been around for 8 years, 9 years, and he just kind of lets his body go to waste. I mean, if you look at the guys that are out there on the field playing, preparing themselves both physically, mentally, I feel really comfortable in knowing that a lot of guys that do get up there in age year in and year out, some of them actually become better because they even know how to take care of their body that much better.
But
they know what to study.
But for those guys, I think that, you know, that we're referencing, you know, Dansby and Whitner and those guys and Joe Hayden and Joe Thomas is, I think for all those guys who and you referenced that quarterback, that all-world quarterback who's got all the money in the world, at that point in your career, you want to win football games. You've got enough money, you know, to never work again in your entire life. You've got the you know the double digit NFL career, but you ended your career with an organization that was still figuring things out, and your the tail end of your career was losing football, and nobody wants that taste in their mouth. So that patience wears really, really thin. And as much as you'd want to stay and be a part of the rebuilding, you'd rather go somewhere and take less money to win football games.
I mean, let's take Joe Thomas, 8 years, 8 Pro Bowls, and guy's never been to the playoffs, right? I mean, at some point, you've got to think that you've got more money than God. You've got more Pro Bowls than God. You would think the only thing I don't have here is a playoff berth and a world championship. And, Matt, you've won them in college. You won it at the pro level. I did the same thing. I've won, you know, we've all been around them. I know for a fact that championships mean more than any individual award out there. It means when you have a group of guys, and especially in the game of football where you depend – on everybody to do a job on defense, special teams, offense, the coaching staff. When you meet back, whether it's from the collegiate level, the high school level, or you know the pro level that we're talking about right now, it means that much more. And you got to think that when these contracts do come due, that's one thing that's got to be in their head right now. It's like, listen, it would be nice to stick my career out, but it would also be really nice to have an opportunity to win a Super Bowl.
You're right. And one quick story is I was actually after this, the Green Bay Packers Super Bowl championship, which I was, of course, a part of, I was watching television in the offseason, and NFL Network was doing a special on the Danian Tomlinson's MVP football season, 2006. And I just text him as a friend, and I go, you know what, dude? You don't really realize it while you're in it, like while the season's going on, but I just want to let you know that you were a great teammate, you were a great leader, and that season you had, you know, it was just amazing to be a part of it. And his text back to me was, I would give all that up to have the ring that you have on your finger. You know, so
that's
all
what
those,
he said back to you.
Absolutely, yes. All those individual accolades and everything that he was and everything he accomplished in, you know, the most touchdowns ever, breaking Emmitt Smith's record and all that great stuff, he'd give all that up to have a Super Bowl ring. So the true competitors, you know, that are out there that, you know, that strive for greatness each and every week, they and look at the way we measure, you know, the best quarterbacks in the National Football League is not by yards. You know, and why Peyton Manning might go down in history is, you know, in most people's eyes, he's the greatest ever, but he'll be looked down upon because he simply has his playoff record and only one Super Bowl championship.
No question. You know, I look at what I was able to be part of in Tampa with my teammates and all that, you know, and the thing that's so special about that is, you know, you see Warren Sapp on the NFL Network, you see Keyshawn on ESPN, you see these guys that you know you did something with, it's really, really, really important to know that you had a part of it. And I think that these guys, when you put the time and effort, when you have to show up in March and lift weights and you've got to run and you've got to do all these things to prepare yourself for the season, man, you know that there's one reason you're doing it. You know, yes, it's to go to the Pro Bowl if you have that opportunity, but you're doing it to win.
Yeah,
and what winning means is that you're doing it to the best of your ability, and you're getting yourself ready for a championship. So, I think they're not far. I really, and it sounds like we say this every single year, but I believe these guys are not far. I think the young guys that we're talking about have better figured out, and they better figured out really quick, because I think this is the type of team with the talent we have, both young and old. If you're not on board, you're gone, and we are going to find those few pieces that we need to take us to that level.
Yeah, and if you have another year with an influx of talent like you had this year, the Browns are going to be in good shape. Mike Pettine just walked past us in the Dog Bowl here in Berea, headed down for his press conference, which we will carry live here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. That should be coming up right now in a moment as he headed down there to face that press conference there, and should be an interesting one. I'm sure he'll have some things to say about the guys we've been talking about today, Johnny Manziel, Justin Gilbert, of course, Josh Gordon, but I'm sure he'll also have a lot to say about this team. And here he is, the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine.
Presser I've been waiting for. Why? Because it's the last one. Just let me start. Just to understand that, you know, we have a lot of work to do this offseason, a lot. And it's difficult because our finish was very disappointing. We talked about that with the team this morning. disappointing. Everybody involved, players, coaching staff, everybody within the organization. But I think the biggest lament for us is how disappointing it was for our fans. You know, to be 6-3 and to finish 7-9. That's hard to deal with. And there are a lot of circumstances involved, a lot of reasons why that happened. But it's stuff that we're going to have to dissect and study and look to learn very valuable lessons from. You know, the game at Cincinnati, I think was our high point, and then unfortunately from there, for a variety of reasons. We're not able to put together a very good end of November and all of December. But in just getting a brief amount of time to reflect, I thought we did a lot of positive things this year. We've instilled a culture change. I think we're well on our way to having that bought into by the vast majority of our players. You know, the play like a Brown mantra. I think we have a lot of guys that typify that, but we have to get everybody on board, and that's critical. As I told the team today, and I've said it to them in prior team meetings, and it's something that comes from Ray, and I truly believe it, having been in the league for as long as I have been, is that your raw talent will get you in the league, but it's your character that determines how long you stay, and I think it's important for our guys to realize that. But overall, the message to the team this morning, we looked back, we talked about the disappointing finish, we talked about the foundation we built, the lessons that we've learned, and the fact that we still feel we're headed in the right direction. We know we are. Then just looking ahead, just talking about relaxing, you know, giving their minds and their bodies a chance to heal up, to recharge, but understand how important this offseason is. That the lessons we learned this past year do us no good if we don't correct those mistakes. We don't make them again. And just knowing, planting the seed that in 2015 it's going to be a bigger challenge for us, just for the sheer fact of the schedule, the teams that we play. I know our strength of schedule will be much more difficult. So we know we have to be that much better moving into next year. So. Very encouraged by a lot of things, and discouraged by some others, but at the same time feel that we're headed in the right direction. Very excited about getting some time off. Very excited about looking back and evaluating what we've done. And very excited about moving forward, making changes, and accomplishing what we want to accomplish next year. I'll open it up.
Mike, how do you get everybody on board?
A variety of ways, tough love being one of them. And it's something that I've talked about it a number of times throughout the season, I think the staff can only go so far in getting players to do it the right way. I think our veteran leaders have stepped in and understood that we have some talented guys that need to be kind of shepherded in herded in the right direction. But I think you have to understand what motivates each player, and push those buttons to get them going. It's like I said, that I told the team today that the guys that do it the right way, we're thankful for, and the guys that aren't, if they want to take it as a warning, we're gonna encourage them and get them, coach them hard to do it the right way, and if we exhaust all opportunities, all options, and can't, then they won't be here.
In that group, are they out of warnings? Is this?
I wouldn't say out of warnings. I wouldn't say that. I mean, it's. I think the two situations are a little bit different. I'm not going to get into, like I said before with Justin, I'm not going to open up each player's personal file here and get into details. But Justin essentially was suspended on Sunday. It was past the 4 o'clock deadline to do it, but it was as a result, as was Josh's, just as multiple violations and having been served, having been warned that a suspension would occur. Whereas Manziel was he was late for a treatment. So it's I'm not writing off his behavior as acceptable. It is unacceptable. Especially we said that we hold the quarterback to a higher standard than everybody else. That just comes with the territory, that position. So has his behavior been disappointing? Absolutely.
It seems like you tried tough love. You mentioned that often, especially with Gilbert, and it hasn't apparently sunk in. So
the results have been inconsistent. Sometimes it has been, other times it hasn't.
There have been some fans and media who have said it's time to cut bait with Manziel and Gordon, move on. Would you do that?
We're going to take our time here. We're going to step away from the emotion of it all, get some time off, come back, and we'll have all the players written up and evaluated, and in a much less emotional environment, evaluate the roster, talk about each position, what changes need to be made. If that's something it's something I'm sure at all positions will be discussed, at how do the players on our roster, given where they are now, should they be here? Should they not be here?
Mike, is there a flaw in the draft process that, you know, I mean, you guys talk so much about play like a Brown, and then the first two picks, you guys are having issues with those guys living up to that?
It's something we'll certainly discuss. I know that's the use of just a, you know, different type of just the testing that you have now at the combine. And to me, a lot of this is more stuff for Ray, but just the scouting process of getting into the schools and knowing who you can trust and who you can talk to and gathering as much information as you can as possible. And then it's also tough, because then you have to decide, you know, how much of this can you write off to a guy just being, he's young, he's immature. I've seen a lot of guys come into the league that if you just evaluated them on their rookie year, that you would have thought they would never made it. And these guys are playing 10, 11, 12 years. So it's an inexact science. That's why you see, you know, that you look at drafts, you know, you look at the hit rate on draft picks. It is very inexact, because it's impossible to predict. But you know, we recognize that these guys have talent, but at the same time, feel that it's on us as well to get them to meet us more than halfway and do it the right way.
Mike, obviously with Johnny, everyone knew there were potentials there with some of his off the field stuff. Was there anything in Justin's background that you guys weren't comfortable with? Or was some of this really surprising, or was this not surprising to you, some of the stuff that's happened with him?
Yeah, I won't get into the stuff that we, you know, the details of a draft report. But I mean, like I said, we do a full workup on all the guys. It's rare that you have a guy that's just, hey, this is, you know, 100% clean All American kid, can't miss prospect. I mean, it's rare given the amount of information that you get.
To Johnny today, and he almost sounds like he's having an internal battle with himself about making the right choices. Now it's time for everybody to sort of scatter. What can you guys do, perhaps in the off season, to maybe see if you guys can help Johnny kind of get it together?
We're going to do what we can. It's difficult with the rules, but it's. We can still have interaction with him from a non-football standpoint. Just the rules are very clear that he can't come in here. We can't watch. We can't have a structure for him. Hey, come in, watch film. So it's you know, with all of our guys, we formed an action plan with the staff as far as how we're going to handle the offseason. And every one of them is tailor-made to that individual player.
Place in the franchise?
Clearly a disappointing way for him to end the year. But, you know, at the same time, Josh right now is a Cleveland Brown. And, you know, we want to take care of our own, but at the same time, we're going to hold our guys accountable. That I think everybody recognizes the talent that's there. But this isn't an individual sport. You have to be accountable to your coaching staff. You have to be accountable to your teammates, more importantly. And that's the thing that we have to get right with Josh. It's not the ability, but it's at some point, you know, it's you get tired of using the word potential. So this is, you know, this off season for him puts him squarely in a crossroads with us.
Do you get a sense that he wants to be here? Is that a concern at all? Maybe some of this is
probably it's a better question for him whether he wants to be here or not. We want him here, but we want him here with him being accountable, with him having the ability to function as a member of this team who's in good standing.
How do you reconcile talent of a player, though, with a player that has established a lengthy track record of not being accountable or not being reliable, independent, which is what you mean?
Yeah, and it's like a scale. At some point, it tips. Like I said, all this will be discussed. We're going to get out of the emotion of it, take off a week, and then get back together and have very lengthy meetings and discuss how personnel sees our players, how the coaches see our players, and look at what our needs are and where the roster stands and make the best decision for the Browns moving forward.
Fair or unfair, Mike, how do you think these behavior issues reflect on you?
I don't concern myself with that too much. It's not about me. It's about the Cleveland Browns, and it reflects badly on the organization. That's what pains me, is that, like I said yesterday, that we had, you know, 40 plus guys out there busting their tails in a game that to a lot of people was meaningless, but it wasn't meaningless to us. And the fact that we were able to have a lead with 8 minutes or whatever it was left in the game, and guys playing their hearts out, guys, you know, basically in tears in a locker room after the game because they played so hard. That's what pains me, because we have so many guys here that are doing it the right way, but to have two or three or four or five guys that aren't doing it, that are drawing a ton of negative attention to this organization, that's what's disappointing.
Yesterday you said you have more to say on the quarterback situation today. Where do you think it stands going into 2015?
Still very much a question mark. We all know Brian's due to become a free agent. The sample size on Manziel was not very big and on the surface not very encouraging. Connor Shaw went out there and battled, and you know, here's a kid that, you know, was peeing blood last night. Took a shot in the kidney. I mean, took some major shots during the game and got up. It's just a credit to him. He wasn't coming out. So, you know, he showed some things yesterday. So I would say our quarterback picture is muddy at best. And obviously will be a major point of, you know, when we allocate time to discussing each position, I have a sense that quarterback will be given the most.
Most teams, if they take a guy in the first round the next year, he would just assume to be the guy. Did you see whatever you saw from Johnny this year that makes you convinced you need to have another option?
Well, yeah, we can't assume anything. Can't. I mean, it's and I think each year is different, and we'll assess the position and go ahead and make what we feel are the best moves for us in 2015. That to me, there should be no sense of entitlement. You know, because he was drafted where he was drafted, therefore he is the starter. We're not going to connect those dots.
Do you want to re-sign Brian Hoyer?
What's that?
Do you want to re-sign Brian Hoyer?
I want what's best for the Browns, and that's all going to be part of the evaluation. I think Brian did some really good things for us. I don't know where Brian is with Cleveland, and I'll be very interested to hear, you know, where we are from an organizational standpoint. Personally, I have a very good relationship with Brian. He was a big part of our success this year. But it's something that I just don't know if the circumstances, you know, can come together for him to be back here next year.
Did Johnny's performance in those six quarters diminish what you guys felt about him? And were you guys excited about him as your quarterback of the future before that point, and now you're kind of like, uh-oh, we're not sure now?
Well, I think just some of it was just hard to judge because it's, one, he wasn't getting starters reps throughout the year, and then two, didn't play very well around him. You know, had some balls dropped, had some breakdowns up front, didn't run the ball well, got behind the sticks. So it's the sample size is small. So it's were we expecting him to go out there and light it up? Internally, we I don't think it was unrealistic to expect him to go in there. I mean, if we felt that way, then he would have been our starter from the beginning. But he did show flashes of what he's capable of. That stuff he some of the balls he threw and some of the plays he made with his feet. But it's just still very, very, very early to tell just what his future holds for us.
There didn't seem to be consensus in the organization supporting Hoyer. Is that the case, and is that irreconcilable for him? That's why you're leaning him not coming back?
No, and that's given that we have a much bigger sample size with him as far as his body of work, that will all get discussed because it's – you just look at we're going to look at every option available, and Brian will be one of them. Whether we have a consensus in the room, I don't know. It's sometimes, especially with that position, it's rare that you have a consensus. But again, we will as far as getting that position right moving forward, we'll spend the most amount of time on it, and we'll leave no stone unturned.
Last week, that Johnny will have a chance to compete. Assuming 2015, would you still like to see that, to at least get him in camp and see what he can do?
Absolutely. I mean, it's very difficult coming out of his last season in college and that whirlwind of the draft, and then he's here, and it's such a short period of time. Now that you get a full real off season where football's your full time job, and now you get through all the off season stuff here, the OTAs, the mini camps. You see so many guys just make such big strides from year one to year two once they finally realize what the NFL is all about and all the things that go into preparing for a season.
It's perplexing to some of us who have seen him week to week saying the right things intelligently with maturity, and then you kind of leave some of us saying, how does a guy who speaks so well make so many mistakes and now a repeat mistake? Do you go through some of that where it's perplexing to you?
Well, it's I've had great talks with him, but I do agree with your point, and he realizes this, that at some point the talk is cheap. That to me the actions, and he's gotten himself to the point where his actions are much more important than what he says.
Season rolls what they are, what does he need to do the next three, four months before he comes in for off-season conditioning?
Well, this is for all of our guys, and I already talked about it. We have a tailor-made plan for all of them, whether it's strength conditioning, that we'll be able to get information out to them. We can't coach them through stuff, but we're able to arm them with stuff kind of leaving the building. But a lot of it is they are on their own. He will be in town here some. I know the guys are all taking a little bit of time off, but guys that are injured are required to be back and in Cleveland until they're cleared as healthy, and he's on that list.
Mike, you always told us that, when we ask about some things with John in the past, that you don't want to micromanage your players. You think he might need a little bit more micromanaging, so to speak?
Yeah, but micromanaging comes in what form? How do we control a player's behavior outside of the building? I mean, there's when his actions start to affect his job as they did, then he was fine for the miss. But at some point, they have to take ownership of themselves and their career and do it the right way, or they won't be here. I just don't know what we can do for our guys. I mean, they're men. I don't know what we can do for them outside of the building. That's going to help them. They have to be able to do it for themselves.
Mike, given what you're saying, with you guys having the two first-round draft picks, I mean, can you say that you have to, that everything is on the table, quarterback, including having to take a look at Mariota, Winston, the top quarterbacks coming out?
Yeah, I think we're a ways away from assessing draft needs. Again, we'll look at every possible way to upgrade every position. And we're fortunate that we do have the draft picks that we have, two in the first round. That gives us some leverage and some options on some things that we can do. But we will be tasked as a coaching staff and as a personnel department to get creative and find how can we upgrade not just quarterback but every position.
Do you plan any staff changes on your coaching staff?
At this point, I anticipate the vast majority of the staff back. There might be a change or two, but I was going to get away and talk with the coordinators and just kind of get a feel for it. They do their own evaluations of their own guys, as I do. We're going to compare notes and see if we need to make any changes.
Mike, how frustrating is it the day after a pretty hard, tough-fought game by your team that most of the questions that come today are about distractions off the field with the same two or three players?
It is frustrating, and that's why I didn't want yesterday to turn into that, because it was right on the heels of it. And I understand that this is more the end of the year than it is the day after a game type deal. But it is frustrating, and we're not going to sweep our problems under the carpet. If a player warrants being suspended or being disciplined, we're going to do it. Sometimes that becomes, when you suspend a player, it becomes public. When you deactivate a player, it's public. When a player's reps are cut, questions will be asked, it becomes public. We're not going to be that organization that sweeps stuff under the carpet just for the sake of appearing functional on the outside. I would rather be functional internally and appear dysfunctional on the outside, because we're going to do things the right way. We don't have a lot of rules. Okay, but the rules that we have are pretty simple ones, and we want our players to follow them. And when they break the rules, there'll be consequences. So, in year one, it is frustrating that to your point, to have it end like this, especially when you're losing, a lot more attention goes to the negative. But as I've referenced before and used the analogy, we're building a house here. And we're making sure that it's on a damn good foundation. And I feel that these are all growing pains in order to do that.
Terrence West seems to have been so up and down this year for you. Do you have a feel for what you have there yet? He just seems like he goes from out of the lineup to almost rushing for 100 yards to fumbling. Or is that just being a rookie season?
We've shown glimpses. And the one thing I feel, if a guy shows it, that he's capable of doing it, then he's capable of doing it on a much more consistent basis. And a lot of that is Terrence doing things the right way, making sure that he's prepares himself properly, that he handles his business well on the practice field, in the meeting room, that he's doing everything that we're asking of him. And I'm confident that in year two, I think the light came on for him this past week. I hope he played well yesterday, and I hope that momentum carries for him in the off season, when he sees, when he does it the right way, what he's capable of. And I think that's same is true for some of our other guys as well.
You expect to keep Kyle, and are you still confident in him and his system despite
Yes.
the last 6 weeks?
Yes.
Do you see the same thing going back to? We've talked obviously a lot about Justin Gilbert. Do you see that those flashes that tell you that if you can get through the other stuff, you've got a good cornerback there, or have you not seen enough?
No, I've definitely seen flashes of his ability, and we've seen it in games as well. I mean, I could make a 20-play cut-up of him where he'd look like one of the elite corners in the league, and I can make another 20-play cut-up where you wouldn't take him until day three of the draft. So it's in this league, it's all about being consistent. When you show you can do it at a high level, we joke with our guys. We're like, caught on tape. We know you can do it. Now that needs to be done. Not just one out of four plays. That needs to become, get it to two out of four, get it to three out of four, get it to nine out of 10. Then you feel good about where a guy is.
When you look at next season, you seems like you have a lot of things in place and that a lot of the problems have stemmed from possibly, you know, the instability or whatever the case may be at quarterback. When you look to next year, would you ideally prefer a proven veteran that can come in and sort of steady the ship and get you guys where you need to go?
Yeah, we're going to discuss all the options. I mean, obviously common sense would tell you that, but at the same time, it's, you know, we have plenty of time to get that figured out. We, you know, opening day, what I've said before, I bored you guys to death with it, is we want to put a quarterback out there. It gives us the best chance to win.
Are there off the field issues with Gilbert are restricting him from making those plays 9 out of 10 times?
I mean, to me, there's definitely a correlation. I won't get into details, but like I said, I'm hopeful that given a full off season and spending some more time, you know, getting to know the kid and everybody here that works with him, because we all see it. And I think that's one of the reasons, and I referenced this before, one of the reasons that the veteran players are hardest on him is because they see how good he is. They see how good he can be. And they just know that he's inconsistent, that it's, they're trying to pull him along for the ride because they all see it. They all do.
The sample sizes between Manziel and Connor Shaw are pretty similar. And given the way they both look, even our untrained eye, how did Manziel end up starting the most important game of this year?
Just given where we were, when you go back to before that game, you know, coming out of the Colts game, we just felt that the quarterback play had deteriorated, you know, had been arrowed down for several weeks, and it got to the point where it was, you know, it was risk reward that we wanted it. We knew that Johnny for us was a big unknown, and it that obviously didn't work out. The unfortunate part of it is we did not play well around him, to the point where if we had all played well around him, we would have gotten a much better picture of what we had. That to me was the most disappointing aspect of that whole stretch.
Was that different from when Hoyer played?
What's that?
How was the fact that you didn't play well around the quarterback different with Manziel than when Hoyer played?
No, it is similar, but like I said, the quarterback play, when you still could evaluate it, had gotten to the point where we felt it warranted a change.
Possible that there was an element of veteran players subconsciously or on whatever level didn't believe in Manziel when he came in and play a slip for that reason?
I can't answer that question. I mean, that's very much a hypothetical.
Mike, will some of the conversation you guys have about the quarterback situation be that just this whole Johnny thing is just too much, that whether he's buying in or not, it's always going to be the focus on him and every move that he makes on and off the field?
I don't know about that. I mean, I just think, you know, time can heal a lot, and I think going out and playing well heals, that can quiet a lot of that stuff down. So I don't think that it will certainly come up when we discuss it all. I think all the circumstances surrounding it will come up, but I wouldn't see that as being something that's going to be a determining factor.